The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
It's time for Ageless Living with Dr. Tong Li and co-host Kurt Wilhelm. In our lives, we are always on that quest to look better and feel better. But how do we start? What are the best practices we can introduce into our lives to start really living it? Here with at least some of the answers are Dr. Li and Kurt Wilhelm.
Welcome to Ageless Living, where we cover all of the balance of life factors to help you become beautiful on the inside and the outside. And when we talk about beautiful on the outside, we're talking literally as well, you know, skin, getting in shape, all those types of things that we talk about. But welcome back to the show. And we also, I'm the co-host of the show, Kurt Wilhelm, and Dr. Li is also with us here today.
Welcome. Thanks for listening to our show. This is Dr. Tong Li. We were talking about health. Mm-hmm. Health is a big part of beauty, because the beauty will come from inside out. So a lot of topics we talk about are related to health. Today, we're going to actually focus on nutrition. Mm-hmm. You know that when you eat well, when you eat nutritional foods, you actually can glow. The pigmentations can go down. Mm-hmm. You're more fit, mm-hmm. less floppy. Of course, that involves exercise too, but yes, diet is a big part of it. And we're going to talk about some nutritional myths that are just not true or half true. So the first one we're going to go to is animal fat is bad for you. Vegetable oil is good for you.
So then the big question is, well, the question I'm going to ask, you can answer in just a second, is, so if this is mythology here, and I'll let you answer this for our wonderful, well-deserving audience, which, by the way, we thank all of you for tuning in to the show, but then what should be used instead? So, but let's get this, the myth answered first.
Yeah. So we've always known all the bacons and sausages. Look at this, all years of eating bacon sausages, now you have heart disease, or, you know, the clogged arteries. Mm-hmm. So basically, we believe animal fat is bad for your cholesterol. It contains cholesterol, and which is really not the same thing as the cholesterol in your body. Mm-hmm. Because the body will make its own cholesterol from other source, other than the cholesterol you ingest.
That's true.
So really, we tend to mix these two, though. So the impression came from actually 1950s. There were a study of a comparison of six countries, which, let me think if I can remember it. United States, Canada, mm-hmm. Italy, Germany, Japan. There's one more. I can't remember that one. But anyway, the point is, there was a study conducted by this doctor, and comparing heart attack or heart disease mortality mm-hmm. versus the cholesterol or fat intake. So Japan was the country had lowest saturated fat intake, which comes from animal source. We're going to actually clarify all these fat sources and the differences between saturated and unsaturated fat. Mm-hmm. Anyways, so this theory is developed that, you know, the heart attack or heart diseases are related to the fat intake or the saturated fat intake. Well, this is half science or half true and may not be true at all. Because when the data is available for 22 countries, this conclusion cannot hold anymore. Finland has this much higher heart attack mortalities in comparison with Mexico. But the two countries have the same amount, roughly the same amount of animal fat intake. So you see, our studies and researches are not always perfect. Actually, never perfect. That's why we do so many of them, try to get a conclusion from it in the comparison. So is animal fat bad for you? Well, I certainly thought so. You know, for many years, I thought, you know, gosh, we got to reduce the fat. We got to use the margarine. We got to use the vegetable oil. It's the truth is much more complex than that.
And it's so tempting because vegetable oil, that just sounds like it must be concentrated
vegetables,
right? It must be good for you.
It's, well, you know, this is what, how powerful marketing
yes.
and brainwashing can be.
That is true. On our other talk show, we were just talking about that, that just because it's advertised doesn't necessarily mean it's true. It's just a good ad campaign. And so whoever thought of calling a vegetable
oil. If you hear it five times, it
go.
Must be true.
Yeah, that's what we
think.
Well,
literally 50 times, so 50 years.
Uh-huh.
So this is actually enlightening to me. You know, now I've come back to realize actually butter is good for you.
Hmm.
That is animal fat or saturated fat. So to go to you know, so to clarify that, we probably have to go over all the fats that's, you know, it's got all the famous names. What are they? What are the differences between them? So, saturated fat. We hear about saturated fat. Of course, there's unsaturated fat. And then we hear, what's the processed fat? What is it called? Trans fat.
Yeah.
Trans fat. I think we know that trans fat may not be good for you, and saturated fat is not good for you. And seem like unsaturated fat is better for you. So, what is the difference between saturated fat and trans fat? They're both bad. Well, they're not always bad. Remember this, we always talk about balance. Anything good is not all the way good when you take a lot of it. Anything bad is not all the way bad when you just take moderation of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, saturated fat comes from animal source. They are naturally occurring. They're not manufactured. Versus trans fat is actually man-made. It's processed fat. I mean, using vegetable oil to actually make it assemble saturated fat, which is animal fat. So saturated fat actually naturally holds as many hydrogen atoms as it could. And to make things like margarine, you know, to make it appear solid in room temperature, we use vegetable oil, hydrogenate it, meaning adding hydrogen ions or hydrogen atoms to it to make it look like butter, thinking that may be healthier. Actually, it prolongs shelf life too.
Hmm.
So there's a commercial advantage to it, other than the fact we used to believe vegetable oil is good for you, even if we hydrogenate it, making it to a solid form. My gosh, I've always thought margarine was good for me.
I actually, when I was young, my mom tended to be a little bit anti-margarine, mostly because she was just pro-butter, the way it tasted, because she grew up on a farm. And so she would badmouth margarine, and then the day, I mean, so she was looking for an excuse to badmouth margarine, right? So the day that she found out anything was wrong with it, she then pounded into us. So I was kind of unique that I had a mother that was just, had ulterior motives.
Well, it's sort of
turned out
intuitive.
To be right. Yeah, that's true.
It's sort of intuitive, even though I was also brainwashed and knowing that, you know, animal fat is bad for you and vegetable oil is better for you.
Mm-hmm.
I always had the balanced view. I thought, you know, a little bit of fat from animal has to be good for you. Well, it tastes good.
Yeah, the truth of the matter is that we as human beings do need, I was looking for it in the article too, I was cheating a little bit and moving on ahead, but that we actually do need a little bit more because of our tendons and the way that in other words, we're not carb people. But carbs are in vegetables, and vegetables are very
carbs
good.
Carbs are everywhere.
Yeah, carbs are everywhere. So if we're not meant to be carnivores either, but we do. There are things like broccoli.
Well, it depends on who you talk to. A lot of people claim they are carnivores.
I swear I grew up as one. Yeah, that's right. And we do have teeth, to match. So, but not quite at the fang level. But nonetheless. I would say if you're going to have carbs, make sure that it's raw fruits and vegetables raw vegetables as much as you can to go along with that. But go ahead.
That's carbs or?
Yeah. So in other words, don't think that you're getting your vegetables by having vegetable oil. You want to actually, if you're going to have.
No. Vegetable and vegetable oil is completely different.
Completely different. And people are thinking that, so.
You know, that's another thing. Another myth we're going to talk about. That's the one saying that eating fat is going to make you fat. So if you eat vegetables and fruits, all the healthy stuff, then the calories doesn't matter.
Very true. If I could share a personal experience, in mid-90s, there was this huge craze of no fat. So the big ad campaigns, that on the sugar candy, it would say, no fat. And so, I was so uneducated in the mid-90s about health. And so we went on the no-fat diet pretty much. I mean, we bought everything that was claiming that it.
How long did you?
A couple years and gained a good 20 pounds,
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
You actually gained?
Gained weight, definitely.
Wow. That's another thing, I always wondered, do anybody know vegetarians? Even though they don't eat meat at all.
Uh-huh.
They can be. Most of them are slim, but they can be obese too.
They can definitely be obese. I've seen a lot of vegetarians that are either very soft or meaning that they just look marshmallowy, even though maybe they're not fat. And then I've seen
they're not exercising.
Yeah, it could be just that and that alone. But I've also seen the way they eat. So they get very excited if it's vegetarian, but the vegetarians, food very often has a lot of starches and a lot of carbs that are just what we call empty carbs in there. And so if you're going to be vegetarian, there's a wise way to be a vegetarian and a not so wise way to be a vegetarian.
Well, I actually don't think carbs. I mean, this is kind of off our topic, but
it's true.
Yeah, I don't think carbs has a bad. Should have the bad reputation as it is, just like fat, just like animal fat. Mm-hmm. That's in a topic. We'll talk about that later. But talking about animal fat is bad for you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, there are studies showing certain people do better than other with animal fat. So another factor is who's eating what.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a new trend or theory about the type of food for different blood type. So they're saying if you have certain blood type, you are better off eating certain food.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a different blood type, you do better with some other foods.
Mm-hmm.
Is there some truth to it? That's probably another talk. This actually relates very well to the Chinese medicine theory, how the five elements, and everybody's born in a certain time of the year.
Gotcha.
And we belong to different elements, and we would do well in certain foods, not do well with other, depending our nature.
Right.
So that's a whole big topic, too.
Mm-hmm.
So this kind of goes to one of our things we do with disclaimer. Anything you do, anything you try, it should be with common sense and with probably checking with your doctor.
Correct. And another thing that I would recommend doing, something that I didn't have growing up, makes me sound so old, is Google. Anytime I want to try out something new, I put side effects of And then so that way, even though it's something that I want to start eating, I start Googling the side effects of it just to see what the other side is saying. And if there's not much bad against it, the theory is that it's okay to eat.
That's really a good idea. Yeah. Nowadays, if you're willing to learn, everything is at your fingertip. Mm-hmm. Almost at everything.
Yeah. There's propaganda, but that's why you know, whichever side you're on and you feel pretty comfortable with it, look at the other side and then you have a balanced view of what you're getting ready to do.
Looks like
we're about time to break here. So when we come back, we're going to be...
Continue talking about some health, nutritional...
Yeah, some of the myth that's out there and getting some of that set straight. So this is Kurt Wilhelm, the co-host of Ageless Living here on Voice America and World Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Tong Lee. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Arizona Laser and Skin is a leading med spa that provides minimal invasive cosmetic surgery, such as liposuction with fat transfer for body contouring, face and neck lift, and eyelid surgery. We offer services using the most advanced technologies. We provide both traditional and non-traditional methods to keep you looking and feeling your best. Call 480-598-9733 or visit azmdlaser.com to schedule a consultation. That's 480-598-9733 or find us on the web at azmdlaser.com. Arizona Laser and Skin offers a holistic approach to health and beauty. Whether it's acupuncture for facelifts, health issues, weight loss, and stress management, come see us. We also offer non-surgical facelifts and fat freezing for love handles. We provide conventional health methods to keep you looking and feeling your best. Schedule a consultation with us today by contacting Arizona Laser and Skin at 480-598-9733 or on the web at azmdlaser.com. That's azmdlaser.com.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are tuned in to Ageless Living with Dr. Tong Lee and Kurt Wilhelm. If you have a question or comment about our show, please send an email to tonglee.md@gmail.com. That's tonglee.md@gmail.com. Now, back to our program, Ageless Living.
You mean when this diagnosis?
Welcome back to Ageless Living, where you learn all the secrets of living a balanced life and living a beautiful life, both on the inside and on the outside, so that when people look at you, not only do you look beautiful, but when they get to know you, then they get to know that beautiful person you are inside as well. So we are talking about a lot of the myths surrounding nutrition. Some of them we've grown up since childhood thinking, well, that makes sense. And we're trying to use our common sense, but that's why some of them need to be debunked. And that's why we have Dr. Lee, who has degrees in Eastern medicine as well as Western medicine, and she can kind of share both sides of a balanced story with us.
And, you know, fat is such an important thing in our life. We can't, I mean, other than the year, you're trying to do fat-free, which... I don't believe you're completely fat-free.
Oh, no. I was just buying all the products that said fat-free, which really they were just jamming them full
right.
of carbs and, starch.
We depend on fat to survive. Actually, there is some essential fatty acid. It cannot be manufactured in the body. It has to be taken and ingested. So, and cell membranes are made from fat.
Mm-hmm.
Without cell membranes, we can't survive. So there are, you know, our body is able to make a lot of fat or lipid from the food we take. But there are some certain things we have to ingest.
Now, over the break, we were talking about clean fat and unclean fat, and it might have a different definition than some people think, but tell us, I had asked a couple of questions about, well, how do you know when you're eating a good cut of meat and it's okay to have some fat on that meat or not? How do you know when you shouldn't be eating?
So the question came is, there are certain pig or what do you call lard, the pig fat that has gotten some bad reputation for contamination or bacterial mysterious bad name. So what I believe is really harmful in certain pig fat is because now we're saying that animal fat is not all bad. Right. So we're going to look at the flip side too. There's certain parts of the fat is bad. I think the worst part is the lymphatic tissue that can look like fat. And because the lymphatic system is a detoxification or a drainage system for the animal, it has more of a toxin and possibly more hormone. You know, the nowadays the livestock are fed in all different ways. The feeding would include antibiotics, would include hormones. It used to be taking a whole year or longer to get the pigs ready. Now it's just a few months, three to four months. What was making that happening? All these artificial feedings and hormones. So it would have, the meat would have more concentration in those specific areas. If we can avoid that, it would be better.
Gotcha. So be careful about your cuts of meat, but you don't feel like they have to be. Well, let me give you an example. I got this Reverb text that was supposed to go to my wife, but it came to me, and somebody said, "I refuse to buy meat at Safeway because it's not only cheaper at Walmart, but it's leaner at Walmart, and I refuse to have pedestrian meat from Safeway." And I don't know if that whole argument really made a lot of sense because. I mean, it just, they need to take a look. They should have been asking more what was the origination of that meat than it was whether it was Safeway or Walmart.
Correct. There's so much more behind the simple fact of a certain food. We're going to go into that more.
Sure.
So in order to understand the whole thing better, we're talking about saturated fat versus trans fat. So the trans fat is basically margarine, shortenings, and it's used in cookies and a lot of breads, and also in many things. It has the benefit of increasing shelf life and also fits to our expectation. Vegetable oil is healthier than fat, which now we're the question is coming up. We're understanding it may not be the case. So butter in moderation is not necessarily bad in moderation. So then the next myth we're talking about is eating fat makes you grow fat, right? Is it logical?
That's why we cut it out for a couple of years, right? So those are the things that seem to make sense.
Well, it didn't work for you, right?
Yeah, and specifically the reason it didn't work is that in the products where they would take the fat out and make it ultra lean, whether that's sour cream or whatever it was, they were actually putting in starches and sugars, which have high caloric content, and somehow created, you know, they go straight to the waste, whereas it would be better just to have the fat as opposed to those.
So fat does have higher caloric count than same unit weight of protein.
That I do agree with, but it does have, how would I say this? If you look at something and say, this is not fat-free, and you say, this is fat-free, you're going to eat more of it. That's why.
Psychologically.
Yeah.
You know,
we
makes
thought it was fat-free, we
let down your
more.
Guard,
and,
right?
Yeah, so that's why we gained weight.
Yeah, that's why we say, well, as long as it's vegetable and fruits, you don't, the calories don't matter because it's healthy.
Yeah. That's back then, I wasn't counting calories. I didn't understand that part of life yet. All right, keep going. Didn't mean to interrupt.
So, you know, eating fat itself is a risk of gaining weight. Eating a lot of fat, let's put it that way. But, you know, everything in moderation, small amount of fat is not a major factor in weight gain. It's the total calories and amount of expenditure, which is exercise and activity. So fat itself is essential, so we need to have some, which is, when you can only have small amount or moderation of fat, hey, might as well choose the good ones.
Sure. And if I could do one small integration, when I started losing weight the second time to kind of go to the next level, my personal trainer did give me kind of a rule of thumb that when you eat, you should be eating about 70 in ratios, about 60%, about 50% should be protein, and about 25% should be fat, and about 25% should be carbs, and then it stays in your stomach longer, so you're eating less because you need less in there. You don't get hungry as fast, and it's actually good for the synthesis. Now you have to choose wisely what protein, what fat, and what carbs you're putting in there. But that was just a good rule
of thumb. Protein powder, right?
Which I ate a lot of protein powder when I first started.
Do you know what's in the protein powder?
Well, it's whey, but it's very highly processed whey. It's hydrolyzed before it gets put together. So I'm going much more natural than my personal trainer first put me on. And so Dr. Lee would be proud of me for going more natural. But so you got to be wise about those choices. But that's just a general rule of thumb.
Absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So going back to what kind of fat's good for you, there's saturated fat, which is animal fat. We know that in moderation is okay to take, but it does have tendency to increase your cholesterol, which is not necessarily directly related to all heart attacks. I mean, in old time, we believe increased cholesterol causes heart attack, period. The newer studies show it's a little more complex than that. So when we come back from the break.
I think we still have a couple minutes.
Okay.
I was just surprised. Time flies when you're having fun and emergency broadcasts to go along with it.
That's right.
All right, keep going.
So when we are taking the good fat, which is a small amount of saturated fat, and the rest of the good fat should come from unsaturated fat, which has two types. One, you'll hear about monounsaturated fat or polyunsaturated fat. They are both from non-animal source. The monounsaturated fat is the good examples of source of foods are olives, so olive oil, certain nuts, avocados, and canola. These are major source of monounsaturated fat. The polyunsaturated fats include both omega-3 and omega-6. We hear about those words. We'll talk about that in just a minute. The polyunsaturated fat comes from sesame, corn, cotton seeds, soybeans. These are the common source of polyunsaturated fat. So there are the non-animal source fat, which is unsaturated fat. Now, both omega-3 and omega-6 fatty acids, they both belong to the polyunsaturated fat group. They're both essential and good for you when they're in the right ratio. It is funny that we try to do the best for ourselves. Sometimes we try too hard. We now are saying, omega-3 is good, omega-6 is bad. Is it really truly so? When we come back after the break, we're going to talk about what kind of ratio should we have, or should we have any of the omega-6 at all? So
we have discussed that in some of the previous shows.
A little bit, yeah. So thank you for listening to Ageless Living. This is Dr. Tong Lee. Don't go too far away.
To a healthier you. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Arizona Laser and Skin offers a holistic approach to health and beauty. Whether it's acupuncture for facelifts, health issues, weight loss, and stress management, come see us. We also offer non-surgical facelifts and fat freezing for love handles. We provide conventional health methods to keep you looking and feeling your best. Schedule a consultation with us today by contacting Arizona Laser and Skin at 480-598-9733 or on the web at azmdlaser.com. That's azmdlaser.com. Arizona Laser and Skin is a leading med spa that provides minimal invasive cosmetic surgery, such as liposuction with fat transfer for body contouring, face and neck lift, and eyelid surgery. We offer services using the most advanced technologies. We provide both traditional and non-traditional methods to keep you looking and feeling your best. Call 480-598-9733 or visit azmdlaser.com to schedule a consultation. That's 480-598-9733 or find us on the web at azmdlaser.com.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit facebook.com/Voice America.
You are tuned in to Ageless Living with Dr. Tong Li and Kurt Wilhelm. If you have a question or comment about our show, please send an email to tongli.md@gmail.com. That's tongli.md@gmail.com. Now, back to our program, Ageless Living.
Welcome back to Ageless Living here at Voice America World Talk Radio. This is your host, Dr. Tong Li, here with my co-host,
Kurt Wilhelm, and we welcome you back to the show. We also want to say thanks to all of you for tuning in. We couldn't do it without you, and we also couldn't do it without our great advertising groups that advertise with us. So if all of you wouldn't mind going to azmdlaser.com and find out how it is and what strategies you can utilize from Arizona Laser and Skin to become more beautiful. Again, it could be health-related on the interior of your body with acupuncture, acupressure. It could be holistic health or literally all the things having to do with your skin all the way through to cosmetic surgery. So just a great place to go. Don't forget to go to azmdlaser.com. So for those of you who are just tuning in, we're talking about different myths that are out there regarding health
And nutrition.
Yes. Absolutely.
So we were talking about omega-3 and omega-6.
So what's wrong with omega-6? So why should we be worried about omega-6?
Well, the rumor is that omega-6 is bad for you. It causes inflammation. Uh-huh. A lot of chronic illnesses such as arthritis, headaches, and certain things can be related to it. Mm. Well, there's some truth to it. Excuse me. So basically, omega-3 and omega-6 fatty acids, they both belong into the healthy fat group, which is polyunsaturated fat. They mostly come from, omega-3 comes from, they're both essential fatty acids. So they are necessary to take in, because we can't make it, we have to take it in. So they are necessary, but you see, that's the thing. Necessary things can be bad in the amount exceeds necessary. So the source for omega-3 is limited. The source of omega-3 fatty acids are in fewer foods. So it's harder to get them in common diet unless you pay attention to it. So the major source of omega-3 fatty acids are cold water fish, like salmon, flax seeds, soy, and nuts. It's only prominent in walnuts.
Okay.
On the other hand, omega-6 is widely available in many vegetable seeds and nuts. So they're commercially much more heavily used. Mm-hmm. This is why in average American's diet, we take in at least six times more omega-3 than, omega-6 than omega-3. So that ratio is at least 6 to 8 to 1.
So what is, like sunflower seed oil you'll see on the shelf sometimes, that's going to be omega-6?
I believe that is omega-6.
Okay.
And some of the nuts and has both.
Okay.
But more heavily in one
in
of
one
them.
Or the other.
Yeah.
How about
they're
avocados? What are they?
Avocados actually is monounsaturated fat rich.
Oh, okay.
It's a very good fat.
All right. That's what we use, that olive oil and avocado oil are the two that we cook in.
They're both monounsaturated fat heavy.
Okay. Okay.
Well, yeah, they may have other fats too, but heavily in it.
Sure.
So apparently omega-3 and the omega-6 fatty acids, they balance each other out. One promotes immune system, which is omega-3. It'll increase your defense mechanism against diseases. It increase your immune system activity. Omega-6, some of it will decrease it. Mm. Some of it will, there are different kinds, will increase inflammation. That's where the rumor comes from. You know, all these bad things related to it. So the bottom line is we need both of them. We need the correct ratio of it too.
Okay.
The correct ratio, a better ratio that's now recommended is the omega-6 versus omega-3. Which is more commonly available versus less commonly available, is 2:1.
Two omega-3?
A range of 2:1 to 4:1. Not the 6:8:1
okay.
that we currently have in the average American diet.
Interesting.
So how are we going to, you know, adjust this balance?
Conscious decision making and buying.
And maybe eat a little more animal fat. A little bit.
I see what you're saying.
So basically, it goes back to balance. So a little bit of everything, and be aware of what those nutritional updates. Mm-hmm. I call it updates because, hey, things are always changing. New things are discovered. New theories are developed. And new guidelines are developed.
Right. That's really true.
So I would say we'll encourage some, a little bit walnuts. Walnuts is a really good source. It's safe. Mm-hmm. Fish, cold water fish, and we know these are good nutritional foods. But watch the calories.
Yeah, they do.
When you do take nuts such as walnuts, you only need a small handful, not a big handful, not two handsful.
Mm-hmm. Which tend to be the way I used to eat. But yeah, like almonds, you know, 11 almonds is the most you should ever have at one particular time for your body to be still
11,
be able to
why not 12, makes a dozen.
And probably, you know, maybe me, I could do 12, but a smaller person, maybe 10.
Yeah, bottom line is you only need a little bit of it, yeah. Even though it's good stuff and the fat is, it's funny that one of my patient or clients was just sharing with me how she loved the carrots.
Mm-hmm.
And ate a lot of it and actually turned orange.
True.
Which is pretty hard to do. You got to chew up so much calories. I mean, so many of the carrots.
Was she juicing?
No, she was actually eating it. That's what was surprising. Because when you're juicing, it's a lot easier to ingest a lot more. You just drink it.
Yeah, then you tend to turn orange a little bit more easily.
But guess what? It cured her poor night vision.
Oh, it really did?
Yes. We've always known that the carrots are good for your eyes.
Yeah, with the vitamin A and...
Correct.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Hey, if you do it in a safe way and enough of it, it will benefit you. So that's where I was talking about the risk of everything. Even something good can be toxic. You can have toxicity from too much vitamins. You can have water toxicity if you drink too much water. Another example is cinnamon. We've been promoting and telling people how good it is. Mm-hmm. Well, cinnamon is wonderful in doing a lot of good to you, but if you take too much of it, it can be toxic too.
Of cinnamon?
Yes.
How much is too much per day?
You know, I think if you use common sense, that you use it only once a day to your flavor, you're probably okay. Mm-hmm. I don't have a solid number, but I know that, you know, I have known that, you know, too much of it, it can be toxic.
I'm probably at about a teaspoon a day.
Well, you're not doing it three times a day, right?
In the morning I have about a half a teaspoon, but it's also in my cereal, So that maybe brings it up to a little bit more. And then it's also in...
I will look it up for you then.
Yeah,
the,
maybe
the quantity
I should.
Of it. But yeah. The bottom line is you don't have to do too much of it, anything.
Okay.
You know, this also applies to soy. You know, we're going to talk about that probably in next show.
Sure.
To cover that. So I think we covered enough on the fat. The bottom line is balance is everything.
Uh-huh.
A little bit of animal fat it can be good for you, and it can help you to achieve the balance of omega-6 to omega-3 fatty acid correct ratio. And having a little handful of walnuts is always good for you. We've known that's been good. We just don't know necessarily what's the underneath information. That's
right.
One point I want to bring up, that is we don't know everything.
Mm-hmm.
We're just discovering new information all the time, and we're learning all the time.
That's very true.
So the next myth is artificial sweeteners. I think this one is a little bit old, but for some people, they're still believing in, oh, if I drink Diet Coke, I won't gain weight.
I was a huge believer in that when I started out. And that's a double whammy, because now you're the carbonation is not good for you. And then there's also all kinds of ingredients that you can't read that are not necessarily good for you. And then you have the actual saccharin or aspartame or whatever it is that's going to go in there, also not good for you. So there's just nothing good in there. So
well,
I stopped.
Some people do it for the purpose of controlling glucose level, like diabetic patient.
Mm-hmm.
So they are using it to replace sugar in order not to have a surge of increase the blood glucose. Mm-hmm. So the common belief a few years back is that it's a safe replacement for diabetic patient. It will help you to lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
Now the knowledge is surfacing up. The studies are showing, actually in 2005, there's a 25-year-long research that is called San Antonio Heart Study.
Mm-hmm.
You can look it up if interested in the details. That showed that drinking sweetener flavored soda increased the likelihood of weight gain more than regular soda.
Mm-hmm.
Can you believe that? More than regular soda.
Yeah. There's a couple of reasons for that, and a different personal trainer that I had told me, whatever you do, don't drink your calories. And he said the other thing is, including, don't drink what you think is not calories either, because he said, the only thing he said was, and it's nice to get the science from Dr. Lee today, but the only thing he said was, because your body gets confused about the sweetener, and it thinks that it's drinking calories when it's not. And it didn't make a lot of sense to me then, but tell us a little bit more about that.
It is not clearly known mm-hmm. why it causes that, but the belief is what you were just mentioning. It increases actually hunger. So
right.
The body actually has a craving for food or carbohydrates.
Mm-hmm.
So you end up eating something else. That's not the sugar-enriched drink, but you end up eating something else
mm-hmm.
because you're hungry. And also the theory is it does mess up your body's caloric counting system,
mm-hmm.
and you feel hungry. You actually have craving for other foods, including other sweets. So, yes, you're not eating this sugarinated drink, but then, you know, you're taking something else.
I'm going to take a guess at how the calorie counting system works, and I think we're about 30 seconds to break, so I got to be really quick about this, is that your body has to gauge how much energy is in your bloodstream at any given point. And when you have enough energy, what it perceives as enough energy in there, then it stores the remainder, and so it starts storing your fat. So it actually could make you gain weight when it's actually storing what the blood sugar that's in your blood, when it's being faked into thinking there's more blood sugar in there than there actually is. And that's
right.
Not a scientific anything, but that's going to be my layman's wild guess.
Common sense has a lot of values. And also the cancer risk has been associated with the sweetness.
Yeah, even if none of these other things we're talking about, you got to consider that there's it could actually lead toward cancer, a lot of these. And just because it's new and it doesn't have new information about it, so in other words, when the bad ones get bad-mouthed enough, a new one comes out on the market and it's untested. And so everybody takes it until it finds out that that leads toward cancer too. So nature normally does a better job.
Right. When we come back, we're going to talk about one more health myth and what is true and what's not true about it. Mm-hmm. So don't go too far away. This is Dr. Tong Lee here at Voice America World Talk Radio with our show, Ageless Living.
And this is Kurt Wilhelm, the co-host of the show. And when we come back, we'll also be talking about the health tip of the week. So don't go away. We'll be right back after the break.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Arizona Laser and Skin is a leading med spa that provides minimal invasive cosmetic surgery, such as liposuction with fat transfer for body contouring, face and neck lift, and eyelid surgery. We offer services using the most advanced technologies. We provide both traditional and non-traditional methods to keep you looking and feeling your best. Call 480-598-9733 or visit azmdlaser.com to schedule a consultation. That's 480-598-9733 or find us on the web at azmdlaser.com. Arizona Laser and Skin offers a holistic approach to health and beauty. Whether it's acupuncture for facelifts, health issues, weight loss, and stress management, come see us. We also offer non-surgical facelifts and fat freezing for love handles. We provide conventional health methods to keep you looking and feeling your best. Schedule a consultation with us today by contacting Arizona Laser and Skin at 480-598-9733 or on the web at azmdlaser.com. That's azmdlaser.com.
A healthy dialogue for your lifestyle. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are tuned in to Ageless Living with Dr. Tong Lee and Kurt Wilhelm. If you have a question or comment about our show, please send an email to tonglee.md@gmail.com. That's tonglee.md@gmail.com. Now, back to our program, Ageless Living.
Welcome back to Ageless Living here at Voice America World Talk Radio. This is Dr. Tong Lee here with my co-host,
Kurt Wilhelm. Thanks for joining us again on this segment. For those of you who are just tuning in for the first time, we are talking about health and nutrition myths. Not mists, but myths, if I could get that off the tip of my tongue there. And so we're going to be talking about, Dr. Lee has some information regarding eggs for us. Is it good? Is it bad?
Well, the myth is that eggs are bad. It's an unhealthy source of cholesterol for you. You should throw away the egg yolk at least and not eat eggs potentially because they're bad for you.
I was just sitting in a foyer of a waiting room, and it had the what the Hollywood stars have eaten lately to stay in shape, and every single one of them had egg white omelets.
That's right, but not egg yolk, right?
Yeah, they were disincluding the egg yolk, so they were participating in this myth. All right, keep going.
Like I was sold in the many myths, mm-hmm. Vegetable oil is good for you. Animal fat is bad for you, but I was never sold on the egg yolk thing. Mm-hmm. Think about it. Egg is a full nutritional source or for a whole life. Mm-hmm. The chicken. It has everything in it. How could it be bad for you? Right. If you don't eat 20 of them a day.
Yeah, true.
So everything is in moderation. So.
The egg yolk does have calories, so you have to include it in your calorie count, but it's still good for you. Those are good calories, is the point.
Right, right. So basically, this belief that egg yolks are bad for you is actually reversing. The knowledge is surfacing up, and then there's more questions asked or studies done showing that the fact that eggs is one of the best source of nutrition that you can get. One egg would have 6 grams, I think it's more than that, of high quality protein. The egg protein is very, very well absorbed and utilized in the human body. It's a very high quality protein. You compare with other source of protein, it's higher. The higher percentage of it is absorbed. All 9 essential amino acids are available in an egg. It's one of the few foods actually contains naturally occurring vitamin D.
Oh.
It's a very popular thing we talk about, vitamin D, because, you know, even with all the sunshine we get here, we're lack of vitamin D because we are indoors. We're wearing sunscreen so often. Correct. So also it has the trace minerals, including zinc, selenium, iron, magnesium, calcium, copper, of course, potassium, and sodium. So it is a also
very rich source.
It has a biotin in it.
Yeah.
Biotin is a popular thing, too. I was in Costco just in the weekend. They were trying to tell me, this is good for your hair and nails.
Yeah, it is. I
do you take it?
I do.
You know what it is? Vitamin B.
Is it just vitamin B?
It's in the vitamin B complex.
Okay,
it's also considered called vitamin H.
Oh.
It is a coenzyme. It does facilitate nails and hair growth, but it's like everything else. This is actually readily available in eggs.
That's great.
You could have just taken enough eggs.
And luckily, throughout the years, I've loved eggs, so
it's a wonderful source of nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
So the biotin is actually found in egg yolk. So if you throw your yolk away, it's bad for your hair and nails.
Did they ever mention whether a hard yolk or like sunny side up if it matters?
I've known that fact. I don't know. I remember all the details, but apparently all different ways of cooking eggs are pretty good. The absorption of protein and nutrition is up there in 90%.
As long as you don't use vegetable oil to fry your eggs, right?
I guess you can use butter, as long as you don't use it every day or
butter,
a lot of
it.
No,
it's not vegetable oil as much.
Yeah.
Yes.
What were we talking about? What's in eggs?
Oh, yeah. The biotin.
Biotin, yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, what's the best way to cook it?
Yeah.
You know, so basically, you know, all the ways, different ways of cooking it is fine. So some ways of cooking it, you'll get it 99% absorption of the protein and nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
Some other way will be 95%. Geez, that both ways are good enough to me.
Right?
Yeah,
I agree.
So boiled, fried, sunny side up, however. So there was a same thing, you know, how they come back to saying that the eggs are good for you. There's a Yale Preventative Research Center did a study in 2010. The study subjects took 2 eggs per day for 6 weeks.
Okay.
They have found it has no negative effect on cholesterol or any heart disease indication. They actually studied the endothelial of the blood vessels, which is the inside liner of the blood vessels.
Mm-hmm.
And they concluded that it has no negative effect on the blood vessels or cholesterol level, nor the heart disease. So, can we eat 20 eggs a day?
If that's the only thing you ate, but it still wouldn't be, you need to have diversity in your meal plan, yeah.
I think unfried boiled egg has about 90 to 100 calories.
Yeah. So, how many eggs was that? Did
20.
You say 20? It's 90 times 20.
That's
1,800 calories. Yeah, that's for a man. You know, he could get away with that and not gain weight, but but still, it wouldn't be very healthy to stick on that very long.
So, I guess we're kind of running out.
Looks like it's about time to close.
Yes.
We did promise a health tip, and it is basically this, something you've known for quite a while, but they finally discovered that dark chocolate, if it's 85% cocoa or more, is good for you because it's good for your heart. They knew that already, but they found out it's because it actually reduces inflammation. So go out there and have yourself a piece of dark chocolate a day. But again, just like the eggs, keep it in the calorie count.
Great. Well, thank you for listening. Ageless Living. This is Dr. Tong Lee.
And this is Kurt Wilhelm. Thanks for tuning in. We'll look forward to seeing you all next week.
We hope you've enjoyed our program today. Please join Dr. Tong Lee and her co-host, Kurt Wilhelm, for another edition of Ageless Living next Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. It's better living, better health, for a super life.